Blog Talk Radio.
Goodness, is it that time again already? Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Exploring Ekphrasis with Captain B2 and Dan Deschino. And I need to take attendance. Dan, are you out there?
You know what? I actually am. I am here, believe it or not.
Very excited.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you, today's a special day. I don't know if everybody knows. It is, I just found this out for my wife today, it is Beltran Day. What the heck is that, do you say? It is basically it's a very ancient kind of like Halloween night, where this goes back to BC years. You can look it up. It's supposed to be the time right in between spring and fall, right before May Day, which is it's the time of change, when the spirit world is the closest to the real world. So this is the time when you can connect with loved ones who have gone, but also where the evil spirits come on too. This has been believed for over 1,000 years. So interesting day for us to have a show. And the main reason I'm telling you this is because if I make any mistakes tonight, not my fault. Evil spirits.
I understand completely, because there's a Beltran celebration going on in my backyard. As soon as I'm done, I'm going to pull off all my clothes and run out there and join them.
Ah, excellent. There you go. Perfect. But yes, nice, full of...
Other assorted lies.
That's right.
All right. Wow. All righty. Good to hear you. And I know that we have the divine Miss Pam staffing the board there and putting stuff up for us, like SoundClouds and other wonderful stuff. So good evening, Pam, and welcome to you. And I just want to start our show. Yeah, thank you. Good to hear you. Yes. You had a good time dyeing eggs with your family?
I did, yes. Yes, me and my daughter had fun together. Oh, and I did want to let you know that also Gray is here with us. So welcome, Gray. Glad you could join us.
Hey, Gray.
Gray Eyes. Hi.
I'm glad we saved him.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Daniel.
Good evening. And before we kick the show off, I'd like to pay homage to late night poets who are gracious enough to include us in their very impressive program of evening and nighttime poetry blogs, with some absolutely outstanding poetry and some absolutely stellar hosts. So thank you, Late Night Poets. And if you like this show, please go explore some of the other shows that are part of the group. if they are as varied as the hosts and just as damn interesting, you will find everything from soup to nuts out there. And I think we are the ones that are the nuts, are we not?
Exactly. Soup to nuts, and we're the nuts here.
All right, yeah. Let's get into it. Okay. What are you putting out there for us first, my friend?
Yes, let's get this party started, and I'm excited. This is a carryover. We're going to start from last week, last show. This is by Fabrice D, called Trumpets of the Fame. And
yes.
Would I like to read it? Sure. I'll be happy
to. I can
to.
Read that. of the Fame. It was living apart from the square public, serene, contemplative, dark, bucolic, refusing to pay the ransom asked for fame on my laurel sprig, dormouse-like I slept. Peeps of good counsel managed to make me get that to men on the street I was accountable, and that on pain of falling into oblivion, I had to expose all my little secrets. Trumpets of the goddess Fame, you're making a discordant din. Lacking the most elementary decency, shall I, for the needs of the publicist's cause, disclose with whom and in which position I plunged into lechery and fornication. If I publish names, how many Penelopes will be seen straight away as the most ardent whores? How many good friends will cast me funny looks? How many will I hit of the revolver shot? Trumpets of the gods, goddess Fame, you're making a discordant din. To public display, my nature's reluctant, suffering from an almost sickly diffidence. I do not show my procreator organs to anyone but my doctors and women. I must I, to headline in the gossip columns, drum up attention with my genitals? And shall I wear them more conspicuously like an altar boy bears sacraments holy? Trumpets of the goddess Fame, you're making a discordant din. A society lady who often lets me make my four delights in her noble quarters slyly pass on me on her silken mattress some parasites of the basest kind that be under pretext of buzz, publicity, color, shall I tarnish this lady's honor, shouting from the rooftops and chanting the catchphrase, Madame la Marquise has given me her interesting. Trumpets of the goddess Fame, you're making a discordant din. Now, heaven be praised, I live on best of terms with Father Duval, with a singing skull cap, he catch a men, I energy, I enager men. Oof, I've never heard that one before. Let me say, I let him say amen. He listens. With his approval, I must write in the press that one night I catched him on at knees of my mistress, singing murmured chants in a choked, slushing voice, while she was searching for fleas in his ball patch. Trumpets of the goddess Fame, you're making a discordant din. So, with whom, this is a long one, my God. With whom, holy cow, I must go to bed to make speak a bit of the hundred-mouthed goddess. Must a woman who's a celeb, a star, come take in my arms the place of my guitar? To excite the people and fuckers who will lend me their much fancied butt, who's willing to let me in naturalis to do mountaineering on her mound of Venus? Trumpets of the goddess of Fame, you make a discordant din. Would these divine trumpets ring out more loudly if I, like everyone else, was a bit sissy? If I swayed my hips more like a demoiselle and suddenly took on the grace of a gazelle. But I'm not aware these jokers gained at all from playing a game of love by inverting the roles. that this would add 1 ounce more merit to my name, the pederast crime today no longer. Trumpets of the goddess fame, you make a discordant din. After this review of Mila One recipes, certain to earn its honorings, I prefer to stick to my first way of things and scratch my belly while body songs singing. If the public wants, I bring them out quick time. If not, I put them back, all back in my guitar, refusing to acquit the ransom and fame price on my laurel sprig. I rest like a dormouse. So badmouth trumpets of the goddess fame, you are making such a discordant din. End poem.
Wow. Now that's the way to start a poetry show. Let me tell you.
That's called hitting the deck running.
That's right.
My word. Okay. All right. I think we need comments on that. So let's pull Gray first and see what he thinks. Gray, what are your thoughts?
Well, you did a fabulous job reading it, Bobby. And, you know, the poem is deeply penned. You know, it's a darker and, you know, flip side to fame, you know, that he speaks of here. That he hits on notes of lacking in the most elementary decency, shall I, through the publicist, cause disclose with who and in what position I plunge into lecturing fornication. If I publish names, how many penelopes will be seen straight away as the most errant whores? How many good friends will cast me funny looks? How many will I get with their revolver shots? That was an excellent break. Fantastic journey through the mind of Greece.
Great comment. Thank you. Pam, what are your thoughts about this piece?
Well, I like it. It's a strong write. The main theme I get from it is the idea of how fame tempts people to sell themselves, and maybe not literally sell themselves, although it can be that too, but the idea of you know, not being true to yourself, selling your soul
right.
in a way to find that 15 minutes of fame. I was captured by the question, how many Penelopes would there be, which made me think of, you know, the character of I know there's a character, Penelope, in the Odyssey. She was married to the main character, Odysseus, I believe. But I don't really know a lot about her to know how that might, if it is a reference to her, how it would fit in to the poem. But I do like when there's a certain section of a poem that makes me think. You know, I really like a society lady who often lets me make my four delights in her noble quarters, slyly passes on me on her silken mattress some parasite of the basest kind that be under pretext of buzz, publicity, color. It's that whole idea to me in that those lines of that if you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. In this case, the dog being those, you know, immoral. People who are immoral because they know that those choices will get them higher up on the ladder of fame. So excellent writing, very well done.
An outstanding comment. I love your observation. That was spot on. Thank you. Dan, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I agree with Pam, and I loved her comment, as I always do. And I was intrigued by the Penelope's line as well. You know, this to me, when you were reading it, it had a, even though it's obviously modern, it had a, it had to me like almost like an ancient Greek feel, you know, with the Penelopes, with the goddess fame. I can see, that's what I was picturing almost the whole time. And so that I thought was kind of an interesting take or an interesting feel to it. But yeah, the crazy, you know. There's humor in here, but it's also kind of like dark, serious humor. And yes. that's kind of how fame is. You know, think of yourself, if you're some famous, you're Madonna or you're Matt Damon or somebody like that, the world now owns you. You know, the world, he talks about genitals a lot in here and sex and all that, and that's because the whole world owns you on that. Like, everybody knows your intimate details. A lot of times there are people are on screen naked. They're talking about, you know, the most private things in magazines, on talk shows. So it's definitely a real, you know, interesting world to, you know, if you are in that world. I always quote my favorite poet as Neil Peart of Rush. You guys should read the lyrics to Limelight, which is a very interesting take he has on fame and so forth. But, I mean, this is epic and just so interesting how he, you know, how he makes you feel at the end of this, of just how, like I said, like how owned you can be from people if you are in fame. You've given up that privacy. So this is really interesting, really epic, great read, and awesome poem, Fabrice. Thank you for entering.
I agree. That was it was quite a complex, a very layered piece. I think it had a very strong tinge of cynicism to it, and I completely and wholeheartedly agree with the observations made about fame and fame corrupting and fame distorting your life, in that you don't have a private life anymore. You are basically public property, and you have to deal with that. And I do like the fact that he's made it. There is some humor in it. Very dark, but he's painted a very cynical, very bleak picture of fame. And I agree with Pam's comment of the goddesses and the goddess, the comet. It almost does have a classical feel to it. And Penelope stands out in my mind. And she was Odysseus or Ulysses' wife. And what I like about Penelope is that while Ulysses was gone all those years, she started getting plagued by men, by suitors wanting her to choose a new mate, a new partner. And she put them, she delayed them very cleverly by she was weaving a tapestry, and she kept telling them that when the tapestry was completed, she would choose a new mate, a new partner, and she would weave that tapestry during the day, and at night she would pick the threads out. So I love the duplicity of it. Very clever woman. I really loved it, and that she sticks out in my mind for that reason, that she was clever. So. Anyway, who have we got? Now, that was a great piece, and thank you for Breach for that. And now,
we're going to crack along here. We are 17 minutes in, but we are starting this week's contest, and I'm going to put this in here.
Yes, we are.
And a great way to start is going to be by Rose Winter 515, who, of course, picked titled her poem Rose Red Brick, and for those following along, picked Prompt 29. And who are we going to get to read this?
Dealer's choice.
Oh, me. Okay, sure. Pam, actually, would you read this for us? That would be great.
Yes, absolutely. Let me get back to the page, and I will be happy to do that. All right. And this is Rose Red Brick. Oh, am I muted? No, I'm not muted. Okay.
No, you're good.
Good. Okay. Rose Red Brick by Rose Winter 515. And it goes like this. Three plants growing tall, green stalks and leaves, beautiful, budding and blooming. Three plants growing still, surprise and amaze with blocks. Pure red brick, rose trees. Three plants, construction, site of new home built garden, roses in the lawn. Building and garden together delight owners. Home perfect, peace, bliss. End poem.
Wonderful read. Thank you. And let me preface the comments by saying that the artist that we're enjoying reads from is Christoph Nyman, and his artwork is very whimsical. He takes ordinary everyday objects like bananas or a coffee cup, and in the case of this particular poem, Lego blocks, and he stages them and then doodles around them an environment which totally changes this ordinary object and makes it something entirely different. Very imaginative artwork, and in this case, rose red brick. They're Lego blocks, which are they're doodled to look like roses. So let's get some comments on this. Gray, what did you think of Rose Winter's piece?
Yeah, Pam did a beautiful job reading it. But, you know, I like the way she went with the prompt. You know, she paints this picture of these green stalks and leaves, beautiful, budding and blooming. And then, you know, she puts in surprise with a maze block, and a maze with blocks, pure red brick rose trees. And then, you know, she built a whole garden together to delight the owners. And I thought it was just a wonderful, right? Fantastic poem.
So in common, thank you. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, it was really beautiful. You know, Rose Winter's a very prolific author, and she always has beautiful lines. What I liked was the combination of the growth of the garden, but it seems like she's also putting in here the growth of, like, the home around it as well, too. And it is very interesting where that is a growth, too, right? You're growing the home in there. You're growing the garden around. It's kind of all one home together. Both, you know, you have a house, but you also have a yard or garden or something, which is also part of your home. And having them kind of grow together in, like she says, home perfect, peace, bliss, was really beautiful way to put that. And just the title, Rose Red Brick, I just loved as well, too, for that theme. So really beautiful, Rose Winter. Thank you very much for the poem.
Good comment. Pam, what did you think of the piece you read?
Oh, this is just a lovely brevity. And I'd say between Rose Winter's name and this the specific prompt that she chose, that she really has an appreciation for roses. And, you know, I have to say what comes across to me is how important it is to make a home, a house your own, so it becomes a home. And part of that is, you know, what do you have in your garden, you know, if you have a garden? You know, like, what are your favorite flowers, I think, are an important question. And I like how she emphasizes the imagery and then reminds us at the end that it's about finding peace and balance in your own home. So it's very well done.
Outstanding comment. I really like that. I like your observations on that. I agree. Rose Winter does some very some very wonderful brevities, and she does fold a lot of emotion and observations into it. And I like her interpretation of the prompt, which when I posted it, I looked at those Lego blocks and I thought, my God, you know, I hope someone comes up with something. But it's because I looked at it and saw absolutely nothing. But look at this. This is she's seen roses and a home and the home, like you said, the home growing along with the garden. So an inspired interpretation of the prompt, and really enjoyed that. And thank you, Rose Winter, for that great piece. So who do we have next?
Yes, we are very excited because we have the talented Sydney Pierce with a poem up next called No Growth. And Gray, if you could give that a read, please.
Okay, sure. This is by Sydney Pearson. It's called No Growth. I've given up on growing houseplants. They all seem to be so unhappy to be alive. I can't be that boring, right? They say you're supposed to speak with your plants, maybe even sing them a song. I've tried everything from smooth jazz to NPR. No luck, no growth. So I talk to myself these days and scribble my thoughts on paper besides drawings of perfect, healthy houseplants. But I swear, I see them wilting too. End poem.
Outstanding, Reed. Well done. Thank you, sir. Let's get some comments on this, Pete. Pam, what did you think of No Growth?
Oh, this is funny, and I can relate to it because I am very good at killing houseplants. So this absolutely wonderful humor within this. I like it all the way through, but, you know, I think that ending really wraps up nicely. So I talk to myself these days, and I scribble my thoughts on paper besides drawings of perfect, healthy houseplants. But I swear I see them wilting too. Oh, my gosh. I really enjoy this. Very well done.
Thank you. Great comment. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, I agree with everybody else. You know, so far we're already coming up with a common theme, like I like to find on our shows, and it seems to be playfulness and fun, and that, I think, really captures the author. This is just a fun, great little, you know, the guy tried everything from smooth jazz to NPR, no luck, no growth. You can picture somebody sitting there with a little radio, you know, playing smooth jazz for their plants. But I thought this was just fun, clever, and playful, and great job, Sydney. I enjoyed it a lot.
Great comment. Gray, what did you think of this piece that you read?
Well, I was going to say it seems like her green thumb is ash gray. I like it. It's a fun write. You know, it's self-deprecating humor, but it blows well, and it's definitely well presented.
Agreed. I really like her her interpretation of this particular prompt, which is just crumpled up. Looks like notepaper or typing paper that someone has attempted to write or draw on. And I'm thinking the artist in this case just took some of his cast offs and uses them as a fuel for a piece. And I love the way the self-deprecating humor. I agree. And her interpretation of this reminded me of a picture, a plaque actually, that my mother had hanging in her laundry room, which is where all her plants were. And I will never forget this because it was a cartoon of a gal standing on a chair, or was it standing on a stool, which was standing on a chair, which was standing on a desk, which was standing on a table. And so she's all the way up in the air, and she's standing next to her plant, which is this long, tall stalk with one leaf at the top. And the caption underneath was it something I said? I'll never forget. And that's what this reminded me of, because I've tried everything from smooth jazz to NPR, no luck. And it was like, and I kept thinking, was it something I said? This is a great piece, wonderful, whimsical humor. Sydney, thank you for a delightful piece. Who have we got next?
Yes, and we have, I'm posting it right now. We have a regular to a lot of the shows, Eric Svensson, and this is called Locomotion.
Yes.
And the prompt is right on his poem, if you click on the link, and I'm going to give this one a read. Locomotion. Dippity-doo-dah, razzle-dazzle, jazzy skirt, flurry-hurry of paintbrush bristles, thistle-sharp mind conceptualizes, hurry-scurry of legs, audacious arms flare out, shimmy-shake clout, let's party, parry motion, oh honey, make haste, no time to terry waste. Kylie Minogue, locomotion dance. you got to swing your hips now. Come on, baby. Jump up, jump back. Artistic integrity. Brevity be the soul of wit. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. You know you'll get to like it if you give it a chance now. Quirky, perky quasars trip quantum fields. Swift conception, modern object, the art. Digital replaced by analog. Instant dialogue, senses arrested. Iconic moments. Dippity-doo-dah, razzle-dazzle, jazzy skirt. Shimmy, shake, clout, less is more. Artistic brevity rocks. End poem.
Great read. Well done. Okay, and let's get some comments on Eric's piece. Pam, would you like to start the comment?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Great read there, by the way, Dan. I really felt your pacing and of your voice worked well for that read.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like how he captures the motion of the artwork with such imagery or lines as hurry, scurry, jump up, jump back, you know, and there's just fun lines like quirky, perky quasars, trip quantum field, swift conception, modern object day art, digital replaced by analog. I like how he pays tribute to the art, to not only the painting itself, but to the fact that there has been changes over the years, over the decades, due to advancements in digital art. So just a wonderful write all the way through that really did, it had the, like he says, razzle-dazzle, jazzy. That's what I felt about this write, that it fit well with that whole idea of that razzle and dazzle. So just excellent write and very well done.
Wonderful observations. Thank you. And Gray, what were your thoughts about this piece?
Sure, you did an excellent read, Daniel. And, you know, the poem is light and it's fluffy. It's on point as far as capturing the essence of the art, you know, swift conception, modern object art, digital replaced by analog, instant dialogue, senses arrested, iconic moments, dip-dee-doo-dah, razzle-dazzle, jazzy skirts, shimmy-shake clout, less is more, artistic brevity rocks. You know, and that's what that is. It's artistic brevity, and it's beautiful.
Great comment. Thank you. Dan, what did you think of your reading? By the way, great read.
Well, thank you. It's not easy. I was shaking the whole way. I'm like, I'm going to mess this up, but I somehow managed to say all the words because it was a tongue twister. I appreciate that. First of all, the painting I thought was great. When I first looked at the painting, I honestly didn't realize it was even a paintbrush. That's how kind of well he did this. I thought it was just a really interesting painting. And I thought this was fantastic. I mean, I thought what this really did was capture the painting. Like every line to me almost seemed like a 50s dance. You know, you could feel the painting actually moving and dancing to these motions, because that's how he made the poem, with the words themselves were kind of dancing around a little bit and felt almost like a scat or like kind of a 50s type of dance. Interesting that he put Kylie Minogue in here as well too. But I just thought it was really interesting, and again the poem itself was almost read like a dance. So it was very technically interesting the way he did it, and I thought really beautifully done. I always enjoy Eric's poems, but this is a lot of fun. So great job, Eric.
An excellent comment. I agree. I agree with everyone. It is a very animated write. He's taken this illustration that wonderful, I mean, the artist, Christoph, takes just a simple paintbrush and creates here the figure of a woman dancing. And Eric takes this animation and it really does animate his whole feet. I mean, Kylie Minogue, locomotion dance, you got to swing your hips now, come on, baby, jump up, jump back. And then he says artistic ingenuity, which paying homage to the artist. This is a really wonderful interpretation of this prompt, and very imaginative and thoroughly enjoyable. So, Eric, thank you for this great piece. What do we have next?
Yes, and we have a treat for all. We have one by, hold on a second here. We have one by Scott Sharp, and I believe we have a SoundCloud for that one, if we can get that played. And it is prompt number 8 for those following along.
Poetic Reverie. The life of a lonely poet leaves me imagining, living in a reverie. A poem jumps off the page, speaks to me. My notebook calls my name in some sultry sounding language that I do not understand. Maybe French. Eyes all aflutter, the pages tease, promise, reward, luscious lips roll off the pages, whispering in my ears. Temptation touches deep inside where all great poetry comes from. As my fingers near the page, she kisses them, and I turn the page to see what she has underneath. Just writer's block.
Great SoundCloud. And that was not merely a reading, that was a performance. And thank you, Scott, for that wonderful SoundCloud. And let's get some comments on that. Gray, would you like to start off our comments?
Sure, I agree. You did a fantastic SoundCloud with that. But, you know, the poem itself, I really love the twist at the end of this elusive poem. You know, it reels you in with all this passion and sensuality, and then, bam, writer's block.
It is very imaginative, and for those looking at it, it's an interesting illustration, because Christoph Nyman has taken a notebook and curled back the corners of two pages, turned them into a pair of lips, and drawn a woman's face on the top page, which I thought was bloody brilliant. So and this light really keys off of that illustration. Pam, what did you think of this piece?
Well, if you don't mind letting me comment last, because I did have to step away, and so I haven't really processed it yet.
Problem. No problem, dear lady. Dan, what were your thoughts?
Yes, I would be happy to hear my thoughts. And first of all, Scott, if you're listening, more SoundClouds, because that was amazing. I don't know personally if I've ever heard Scott talk before, but wow, that was definitely a performance. That was a lot of fun. Great job, my friend. And I love the take on the prompt. Like you said, the prompt is a page with like a face on it, and he really takes that in all different directions, which I really love. My notebook calls my name in some sultry sounding voice that I don't understand, maybe French. Eyes all aflutter, the pages tease and promise, and it's, it is kind of like that time when you're sitting there, you're looking at this page, and all these other things are coming into your mind, right? Maybe the page is talking to you, or it looks like a face, or whatever, but you can't write, right? You're getting all these other ideas and all these things, but the idea, but, you know, the one thing you're trying to write, you really can't get. And he had, again, kind of the theme so far, like a very playful, fun take on there, where the writer's imagination is kind of sending him all over the place. So this is a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Agreed. Great comment. Yeah, the look of the face that he's drawn is very flirtatious, and seems like Scott picked up on that. And ran with it saying that she's tempting to distract the writer, but then when one looks underneath, there's nothing there but writer's block. I agree with Gray. It is an inspired ending. So Pam, did you want to contribute something to this?
Oh, absolutely. I always enjoy Sharp's poetry. I really like when he makes the SoundCloud. I've heard him before, and he does have an excellent reading voice that, like you said,
yes,
he puts on a performance. And, to me, I like the general theme of the idea that you so badly want the muse to show off her wares, but she's just keeping that chastity belt on and showing you nothing. And this was clever all the way through, especially that ending. But the other part that really jumped out at me was, I know Dan mentioned it, was that stands with my notebook, calls my name in some sultry sounding language that I do not understand, maybe friend. And I had to, giggle at that one, because it's that whole idea that we like to think, as we're imagining things, that not only do the people around us sound particularly sexy, but we ourselves sound particularly sexy. Much more so in our imaginations oftentimes, and I speak mainly for myself, but I just thought this was very clever and very well done.
Thank you. Great comment. I agree. It was a wonderfully imaginative take on that particular point, especially I do not understand. Maybe French. Very clever. And I agree. I hope that Scott treats us to some more SoundClouds, great reading of his piece. So thank you, Scott, for the wonderful poem and for the SoundCloud. So who have we got next?
Well, this is going to be fun. We have one by John the Vaughn, who I'm not familiar with, so I'm excited to read it. And this is called With This Here Duster, for Prompt 13. And Captain, my Captain, it is your turn to read.
Oh, I'm delighted. I love John the Vaughn's stuff. He has a wonderfully quirky sense of humor. And the illustration for folks is it is a playing card bent in half, and the illustration penned by the artist is a woman with a rug beater. It looks like she's beating the crap out of what looks like a playing card made to look like a rug. So we have With This Here Duster, I'm going to beat the gambler right out of that man. I'm going to beat this joker right off of that man. I'm going to beat this jack right out of this house and send him on his way. And I'm going to beat some sense back into that man. I'm going to beat some respect back into that man. I'm going to beat a stay home right back in that man and keep him close that way. The poem is a parody on the South Pacific tune, I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. A very inspired and clever interpretation of the prompt. I love the lighthearted and whimsical humor in this. And with that, I'm going to leave it to Dan. What did you think of this piece?
Yes, again, another really fun poem, and I think he just did the prompt, beautifully, made it, made it musical, made it kind of old-timey, and I thought it was really interesting, and I can't, it's funny, I didn't see it before, but after I read it, I can see the, I don't want to say feminism, I want to say strength in the woman that's beating that, so-called rug, and that's almost something that was done back in the time of when that was written, so you can almost just feel it. Like, I think he just had a great feel to the piece. It was fun, it was entertaining, and I think it's almost got that kind of 50s mentality. You can almost hear this woman singing this song to herself as she's beating the rug aka playing cards. So yeah, great job, John.
Well said. Gray, what did you think of this piece?
I thought you did a wonderful job reading it, Bobby. But, the poem is it's hilarious. You can picture all this as you read it. And I thought it was a fascinating parody on the prompt. Parody with the prompt. I'm going to beat that gambler right out of that man. I'm going to beat this joker right off of that man. I'm going to beat his jack right out of this house. I'm going to send him on his way, and I'm going to beat some sense back into that man. Yeah, you know, I like Daniel's comment about the 50s and how this seemed to be the way, but it really was a fascinating poem.
Great comment. Pam, what did you think of John Navon's poem?
I enjoyed this. I thought you did an excellent read of it. It was a fun parody. I like how Dan mentioned the 1950s vibe, and I had to agree with that. I like how she references the card like the Joker, you know, and I thought that was a nice duality to that choice of wording. Not only is it, you know, referencing the card, but the fact that the man is acting like a fool. So just excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you. I agree. I loved his interpretation of the prompt, and the fact that he very subtly parodied that song from South Pacific, because when I started reading it, I realized what he had done, and it was quite a clever parody and a very inspired interpretation of the prompt. So, John Navon, thank you for that wonderfully amusing and an entertaining piece. Who have we got next?
Well, I am putting up yours, Gray. If you could honor us with a read, that would be great.
Sure. Okay, this poem is written by myself and it's based on prompt number 5. Watersheds. Watersheds inside under things, clinging to salted flesh, defiantly resisting. Ink needs spill from pools of unspoken wants, flooding endorphins satiate. Luxurious velvet, engorged lips, mouth maintains peaks and valleys. Mountains, peaks and valleys. Decadence is born of love notes written in the tender tissues of release. End poem.
Great read. Thank you. That was wonderful. So let me get some comments for you on your piece. Pam, would you start us off, please?
Well, as I always say, Gray is the king of brevity, and now I'm going to say that he is the king of sexy brevity. So you can't see me, Gray, but I'm bowing to you, just so you know that. This is wonderful all the way through, but I especially like ink needs spills from pools of unspoken wants, flooding endorphins satiate. There's sometimes where the body communicates what words cannot say, and decadence is born of love notes written in the tender tissues of relief. There's a wonderful sense of give and take within that line. So beautifully written and very well done, Gray.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you. Great comment, Pam. Dan, what did you think of Gray's piece?
It was a great read, Gray. Nice job on that. And I really enjoyed it a lot. You know, I thought it fit the prompt beautifully. Where the prompt was, there was pen and ink, like an inkwell, and a pen is part of the woman's hair, and then the same color that was in there kind of is what drew her. And I think this is just such a beautiful take on that, where the you know, it's coming kind of from the woman herself, the writing, or the you know, inked needs spill from pools of unspoken wants. So it's just kind of the woman herself, who's sensual, who's beautiful. That's where the ideas are coming from, and I think it reflects, you know, any kind of writing, right? Where the writing isn't just words, it's the person that you're seeing there. It's the beauty of the person, the sensuality, the intelligence, whatever that is, that's what you're actually reading. So that's kind of what I got out of it, Gray. Really, really beautiful. I liked it a lot. Great job.
Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate that.
Agree. Of an inspired interpretation of the prompt, the sensuality that you see in that particular illustration is quite unique, and the way you've expressed it in this brevity, luxurious velvet, engorged lips, mouth, mountain peaks and valleys. Decadence is born of love notes written in tender tissues of release. Beautiful line, beautifully written. And I like the fact that you call watershed with the color blue being the dominant color in the illustration. I think it's inspired. So thank you, Gray, for the great piece, a great read. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate you.
All right. And who have we got next?
Yes, well, I would be very disappointed if we did not have a SoundCloud by Martha on here. So we do, and if we could play that, I'm excited to hear this one.
Absolutely. Coffee in the Morning by Martha Gettle, and I'll go ahead and push play on that.
Coffee in the Morning by Martha Gettle. I wake up to the day's dawning, moaning, stretching, and yawning. It's hard to get going, you see, till I get my first cup of coffee, hot, strong, warm in my hands. Part of me only coffee understands. It wakes me up, it clears my mind. I enjoy a cup of coffee anytime. Coffee, coffee in the morning. The craving heats me with the dawning. The smell gets me on my feet. A cup of coffee is my favorite treat. A cup of coffee to me is exciting. I find a cup of coffee so inviting. Coffee is invigorating to me. It picks me up. It's what I need. Coffee, coffee in the morning. The craving hits me with the dawning. The smell gets me on my feet. A cup of coffee is my favorite treat. There are so many ways to drink coffee. Lattes, mochas, and fancy as can be. I love in the morning to wake up to that first taste of coffee in my cup.
Well done, Martha. I love it. and the illustration, the prompt is the first one, which the artist has taken a cup of coffee. Looking at it from above, the ear of the mug is the person's nose. Got someone, and the coffee cup itself is a yawning mouth with someone stretching. Beautiful. I love the illustration, and I love the way Martha has interpreted it. This is great. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard romance woven through a poem about a cup of coffee before, but by gosh, Martha did it. It's a great piece. I love the way she expresses herself. Hot, strong, warming my hands. Part of me only coffee understands. I love that. It wakes me up, clears my mind, and I enjoy a cup of coffee anytime. Great job, Martha. But Pam, what did you think of Martha's piece?
I enjoyed this very much. It's one, of course, I can relate to, as I don't function well until I've had my first cup or two of coffee in the morning. You know, I really enjoy the chorus. The smell gets me on my feet. A cup of coffee is my favorite treat. But I always like coffee in the morning, the craving hits me. And there are so many ways to drink coffee, lattes, mochas, and fancy as can be. I love in the morning to wake up that first taste of coffee in my cup. Yeah. Well, I think a coffee company ought to, like, scoop Martha up to write a jingle for them or use this.
I agree.
It's fun. And I very much enjoy it.
Yeah, and she, you can tell she enjoys it too. So you can't help but enjoy it with her. Great comment. Gray, what did you think of Martha's piece?
I thought she did a fantastic job singing this song. It was, you know, in my comment to her, I said, "You're in love with my life partner." Kiss, kiss. I mean, you know, I live with coffee, and coffee is with me, but we share the same sentiment towards coffee.
Do we have a triangle here?
We do.
You, Martha, and the coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I think you have. I think coffee has. I enjoy a good cup of coffee myself. Dan, what are your thoughts about Martha's tea?
Yeah, this is great, Martha. If you're listening, great job. I actually thought it was one of her better. Rhyming ones. I agree totally with Pam. Pam and I are on the same wavelength today. It honestly sounds like a coffee jingle. Like the rhyming and the meter was just fantastic. Great job. It reminds me of this. I saw a T-shirt today from a woman who was wearing it. Simply said, "Yes, but coffee first." That's kind of what this reminded me of. And it was fun. It was interesting take, and I really enjoyed it. And I will say a bit of trivia that no one will care about. I've never had a cup of coffee in my life. I don't really do caffeine.
Really?
I'm too hot. I can't. I'm too hyper
really?
As it is.
Wow.
I have trouble even sleeping. So yeah, if I drank a cup of coffee at 2 in the afternoon, I wouldn't sleep all night. So I understand it.
So
I get the whole thing of it, but I've never had coffee.
So Dan, like Ivory soap is 99.4% pure.
Exactly. That's right.
I agree with the cup of coffee. I actually feel decadent myself. I gave my coffee maker away to my friend and bought myself this high speed, low drag, very sexy automatic coffee. You put the beans in the top and it grinds them for you. And the first cup of coffee I had out of that machine, I thought, I'm never going to drink coffee anywhere else again. But this thing was just, it was amazing. So when you get a good cup of coffee, you can get passionate about it. It really is easy to do. Yeah. So anyway, you don't know what you're missing, Dan. And what that means, no, when you're not drinking.
Coming from Massachusetts, go ahead, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, when you're not drinking coffee, that's more for me and Pam and Greg.
Yeah, I'm coming from Massachusetts, the birthplace of Dunkin' Donuts, I'm definitely an outcast for not drinking coffee. In my town, I'm not kidding, there's literally at least 15 Dunkin' Donuts plus other places, so everybody... Everybody drinks coffee here. But anyway.
Oh, I can say bad poet. So
yes,
we got next.
Exactly. Yes, and we have one by Thomas B. I love Thomas B. Great guy. Haven't heard from him in a while. Hold on. Did not copy. Hold on a second. Everybody be patient. Like I said earlier today, that's the evil spirits playing tricks on me today.
Now is the time you should try coffee.
This is probably a good ad for coffee. But anyway, one by Thomas B. called A Box of Light Anywhere. And Pam, you are up for a read.
All right. This is A Box of Light Anywhere by Thomas B. And it goes like this. She struck me a quick stroke on the head of a match I was blazing. These sudden epiphanies. These momentary loss of sense. She meant nothing. We had no reason to be together. Her pretense and illusion so obvious. I kept seeing there was no substance, nothing to no reason to continue. I couldn't seem to help myself. I continued knowing it was pointless, but determined. So sure, I had to when I didn't want what I was getting. I was vandalizing my sense of virtue on a capricious set of starry eyes, the right amount of lipstick, and the bluest eyes I had ever seen. For all the education, the wonder of human intelligence, reason, disaster, bats her eyes. You gather up your masterful lies, descend the stairs to hell, all for a spell with a plastic witch. End poem.
excellent read. Great job. Wonderful piece. Thomas is a tremendous a writer. Gray, what did you think of Thomas's piece?
You know, his take on the prompt is amazing. You know, she struck me a quick stroke on the head of a match. I was blazing. These sudden epiphanies, these momentary loss of sense. She meant nothing. We had no reason to be together. Her pretense and illusion so obvious. I kept seeing her there. I kept seeing there was no substance, nothing to moor to, no reason to continue. I couldn't help myself. I continued, knowing it was pointless. And then, you know, to the very end where you descend the stairs to hell for a spell with a plastic witch. Yeah, just a fantastic poem.
Great comment. Thank you. Dan, what did you think of Thomas's write?
Well, I always enjoyed Thomas's write. He has fantastic poetry, and I love how he always dates it as well too to kind of show when he wrote that. If you ever listen to him, I haven't heard him on shows in a while, but he has great stories and insight from the past. He's lived a very interesting life, so I always enjoy listening to him speak. But this is great. I love the comments everybody else said, and I really liked, for all the education, the wonder of human intelligence. Reason disaster bats her eyes, I thought was really interesting. So this is a almost anti-love poem where it was yes, she struck me, you know, a quick stroke, but then she meant nothing. We had no reason to be together. Her pretense and illusion so obvious, you know. So it was just this, you know, I'm struck with this person anyway. I got to stay with, you know, why am I with this person? But I'm going anyway. It's disaster batted her eyes, and I fell into it. So really interesting. Great. Great job as always, Thomas. I enjoyed it very much.
Great comment. And Gray, you read this. What did you think of it?
He commented already.
Then need to talk to Pam then. Pam, what did you think of this piece?
I liked it. I like how the main theme of this is how when those hormones come rushing in, like all common sense gets washed away. And there's great lines all the way through. But I think it was definitely that third stanza with the mention of I was vandalizing my sense of virtue on a capricious set of starry eyes, the right amount of lipstick. I really like that phrase. You know, it's not fancy phrasing, but it's so true. It gives it a noir kind of feel. And the idea that right applied lipstick will really grab the attention and as well as the eyes. So beautifully written, just clever and fun. And I enjoyed the story that he made out of this. So well done.
I agree. I think it was and how different from the previous piece that used this prompt as its inspiration. This is the wonderful thing about these contests and the prompts. The same piece of artwork can provoke such different responses. And this one, I also really enjoyed. I was vandalizing my sense of virtue. What a great phrase. I really enjoyed that. Damn, I wish I'd written it. It was really a wonderful interpretation of the prompt and this young lady who has caused him to depart from this. Gather your masterful lies, descend the stairway to hell, all for a spell with a plastic witch. Great, great piece, Thomas. Thank you so much. And who we got next?
Yeah, I'm putting up on the balloon right now. I do want to say that one of the things you just said, Bobby, is that I enjoy about prompt-based shows is just seeing the different takes that people can have. You get a world of differences, you know, and it's just always interesting how you know, people can look at some one thing and see so many different, you know, so many different things. You can, if you could only see through somebody else's eyes, right, and be able to kind of see the world differently than you do. So it's always really interesting to see the different takes on the prompts, absolutely. I always find that very, very interesting. So, Pam, you are up, and you have the honor of reading somebody who's becoming a regular of us now, I'm happy to say, Kestia F., and this one's called One Another's Heart. If you could give that read, Pam, it's on prompt number 31 for those following along.
I would be happy to. One Another's Heart by Kestia F. I feel your sorrow eyes, this beautiful silver like stars in the sky. I'm sad as you, whatever is inside of us is temporary pain we go through. I want to kiss your face, give you a big embrace. How about coffee or breakfast to tell me your troubles? I will tell you mine. As we sat and spoke, in one our hearts were broken. We talked of all the journeys taken, all the mistakes we made. Yes. Of course, tears fell. The painful eyes, mine brown, cry too. We spoke of all that our dreams we search for, sipping our coffee to soothe the soul. In the dawn, we peeked through the window as the sun took its first shine, welcoming the world with a touch of hope. We sat there staring in space, but we knew our souls were an embrace. The sad eyes no longer are part. Sadness slowly departed as we understood one another's heart and poem.
And read. Thank you, Pam. And let's get some comments on this. Gray, what did you think of this piece?
Well, you did a beautiful read on that, Pam. But the poem is touching. You know, it has so much heart and soul in it. The sad eyes no longer our part. Sadness slowly departed as we understood one another's heart. How beautiful is that, you know? And, you know, when you can be together in sorrow and in happiness and come through the other side back into happiness, back into happiness, that's a beautiful thing and worth keeping. So beautiful, right? Excellent read, Pam.
Excellent comment. Thank you. Dan, what did you think of Kazia? I know you like Kazia's work, so what did you think of her piece?
I do, and that was a really great read, Pam. I think you captured it beautifully. I've read a lot of Kazia's work, and I like this is a little different for her. She usually goes very, very happy, very positive, and I think she did the prompt great. The prompt was really interesting. It reminds me of how artists, either poets or whoever it is, you know, things don't have to be complicated. It can be simplistic. This artist basically drew three lines. You know, I mean, he did other things too. There's color, chosen colors, and there's, you know, the way the camera went and all that. But as far as just drawing, there were three lines on there to make a face. And, you know, he really captured, you know, emotion with that. And I think Kestia did a great job then capturing that emotion to put it on this page with her words. And she really just, you know, made it into a story, a really beautiful story where it's, you know, this is a friend or whoever it is that she's talking to, and just, you know, I could just feel the conversation in this. I could feel the love and the connection between these, you know, these two people. And I thought it was just very, very beautiful, emotional and touching as well too. So great job all around. I was really interested to see if somebody was going to do that prompt. It was one of my favorite ones on there, so I'm glad somebody did. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I as the last one, I looked at it and I thought, you know, if someone does select this prompt, I wonder what they're going to see, what it's going to inspire, and this is a very touching, emotional piece, very tender. As we sat and spoke and our hearts were broken, we talked of all the journeys taken, all the mistakes we made. And I think we've all had that conversation with someone, and you find out sometimes that what your concerns are, and you feel like the Lone Ranger. You find out that someone else that's close to you is having the same thoughts. And so I think she's expressed it so beautifully. And you're right, that that particular prompt, it could have gone any way, but the way that she interpreted it gave it such dignity. So great piece. Kavya, thank you for that. And who do we have next?
Yes, I'm going to put one up that I'm going to give a read, and this is by Jesna Sajan. And it is called The Gulls in the Storm. And I will say, I'll comment on Jesna. She puts herself on her site as saying aspiring writer and future poetress, but I think you're already there, Jesna, just to let you know. And this is again called The Gulls in the Storm. Seagulls, aggressive awareness of dangers. Birds of a colony flock deviate from strangers. Parents protect their children from strangers unawares. They fear safety for their children, seemingly like bears. Circling for their meal everywhere, together in harmony. Flapping wings, flutter flight to earth. People scare them away. As parents take care of their young, lets them go. Independence pulsating, they move with the flow. Observation, fields, fish and wildlife, habitat, beaches. Common environment, diet, photography, these refugees. As the child grows, age by age, fitting into their beings, their parents intimidate peace, melancholy sings, maternal things. Circling the skies, alerting their mates, gather in shores, migratory birds, depredation in numbers, distant scores. The adults migrate to better shores, better life, expectance, happiness. Alas, they do not know. Money gives less time, less joy, more stress. Seagulls are resourceful, inquisitive, intelligent, attacking. Predators and other intruders, like human beings, harassing. Copulation invasive, screech and squawk, social beings. Like humans, traits of light, black, gray, character rings. Poem.
Outstanding read. Thank you. And although I look at the bottom of her piece, and I don't see any prompt listed there, so I'm at a loss as to how to interpret this, because she's not provided us with what her inspiration was out of the contest. But let's get some comments on it. Gray, what did you think of this piece?
I thought you did a wonderful read on it, Daniel. But, you know, the poem is definitely gives a voice to the seagull in the storm. You know, their lives, they're raising their young and hoping to have a happier future and protecting their children as they grow. And, you know, and I really like the comparison, like humans, traits of white, black, gray, character rings. Just a beautiful poem on the subject of a seagull and its life.
Thank you. And Pam, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, I think standing on its own, it's a wonderful poem. You know, I think she must have also decided that it didn't quite work for your contest, because I see it's not actually in the contest. I don't know if she put it on the board or what, but on its own, it definitely, it's a standout poem with great couplets. Now, having spent a lot of my life, quite a few years of my life near Lake Superior and watching seagulls, you know, I'm a big fan of any poem that brings out seagulls. I also, you know, I love the story of Jonathan Livingston's seagull. I have fond memories of watching the seagulls. At the Disney movie Finding Nemo, where they have the seagulls running around going, mine, 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 mine. I always thought that was perfect. It, you know, you can totally see it in their personalities. And she captured the personalities really well. Seagulls are resourceful, inquisitive, intelligent, attacking predators and other intruders like human beings, harassing. They also will go die for your McDonald's French fries. They are big fans of McDonald's French fries. But I like how she connects the idea of how the seagulls are a community working together. You know, so just an excellent write and very well done.
Agreed. Thank you. And Dan, did you comment on this already?
I did not. I really liked it. I like Justin's poetry. I've gone into a couple of her contests. And, yeah, I thought it was really beautiful. Seagulls are interesting, and there's been so, like, I agree with Pam with Jonathan Livingston Seagull is an amazing book, amazing kind of long poem if you've never read it. And there's been so many, so much stuff about seagulls just because they are kind of, they're interesting. You may think of them as, hanging around McDonald's parking lots eating French fries, but they really are kind of just beautiful, almost mythical creatures. There's a song by Bad Company called Seagull, which is really interesting too. So it's a great take on that. And I'm going to call myself out on this one. I have no idea where I got this one from. I got permission from Jessna. I can't find it anywhere. So this might have just been an extra little fun that we have on here. We definitely have permission to read it, but I don't know why I put it on the list. Senility is coming very soon to me. But we get a little extra fun with Jessna tonight on that. I can't find it either, so. I'm not sure where I got it from, but anyway.
I'll tell you later. How's that?
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Okay. Just give us another one, please.
Yes, this one is definitely on the list here, and it is a huge treat for us because this is by Gerald Green called Angry Woman, and this has a SoundCloud, if we can get that played.
All right.
Angry Woman, written and read by Gerald Green. She whacked and whacked in anger, beat the Nine of Hearts, as if it was a villain awaiting punishment. You'd think that it was baseball and she was up to bat. She used both hands while swinging like Mantle or Babe Ruth. When sweat poured down profusely, she didn't pause or flinch, but kept her steady beating. I thought she might collapse. It made me introspective, made me reconsider. How much passion do I have to make me care that much? With ponytail swinging, an exclamation point, for every whack repeating, she beat the Nine of Hearts. Her slender form kept moving, supporting anger's thrust. I marveled at her beauty, a woman undeterred. I saw no change, no outcome. I saw no difference. The card looked quite undamaged, no marks or blemishes. So what with all this beating? Why this waste of time? Outdoors where all could see her, watch her lose her temper. When she was done, I asked her about what I had just seen. I guess she had her reasons, but wouldn't tell me why.
Wonderful. He's got a wonderful reading voice, and I agree with Pam that having the author read their own piece is there's nothing like it. It's wonderful. You get their emotion in what they've written. And so, Dan, why don't you start the comments off on this?
Absolutely. Gerald's voice is great. It really is. And he always records such high quality stuff too. It's great to leave there. But I thought this is fun and really interesting, almost like an introspective on this woman. He really got into, and came up with a character here, which I thought was really great. Always like pop culture references. Mantle and Babe Ruth is always fun. I saw no change, no outcome. I saw no difference. The card looked quite undamaged, no marks or blemishes. So what's with all this beating? Why waste time outdoors where all could see her? When she was done, I asked her about what I'd just seen. I guess she had her reasons, but she wouldn't tell me why. I thought was just such a interesting and inventive take where he doesn't even give us the answer. It's not about that. It's not about the why. It's about the emotion that this person's putting in there. And sometimes that's it. There doesn't have to be a why to everything, right? You can just have to let emotions out sometimes. So I thought this is really interesting, well done, and kind of a unique take on the prompt. Great job, Gerald.
read, it is not, it's definitely about the journey and not about the destination. And again, here's another prompt that was referenced earlier on. And what a difference in the emotions in this one. The other one was lighthearted and whimsical. And this is almost as an intensity to it, because she's out there with a public display of anger, and she's just wailing away on this playing card. And I agree with you. The fact that he's left as an exercise for the reader is gives the reader credit for having some sense to take the storytelling here, which is quite good, in the character development, and carry it further on their own. So, Pam, what did you think of this piece?
I did enjoy this, and I thought it was, like you said, it's a more serious subject, and I really like how, like Dan was mentioning, the idea that, you know, the question is never answered, and that's not important. I liked this all the way through, but I really, you know, liked where he said, with ponytail swinging, exclamation point for every whack repeating. I liked how he noticed that her ponytail almost looks like an exclamation point, and also it made me think of how back when people did comic strips, in order to express surprise, or shock or something, or, you know, there'd be an exclamation point above the character's head. And I can't remember which comic strips did that specifically, but I remember seeing it.
Yes.
And I also like where he says, it made me introspective, made me reconsider how much passion do I have to make me care that much. It's like when you watch somebody in that much anger, and, you know, you've got to wonder, what is it that has made them this angry? What has made them this passionate? And could I ever find that? And do I want to find that? So just an excellent write and very well done.
Wonderful observation. Thank you. Great comment. Gray, what did you think of this piece?
I thought it was a fantastic poem. You know, it captures this woman's anger, as you know, and her hair, her ponytail swinging as an exclamation point for every whack repeating. She beat the Nine of Hearts. You know, I thought it was a fascinating poem on the subject of an angry woman and her action. Just beautifully timed.
Great comment, thank you, and thank you for the wonderful, wonderfully imaginative comments, poem, and the great SoundCloud, Gerald. So thank you for both of those. And who do we have next?
Yes, we have somebody, again, I'm not familiar with, that's new to our contest, but other people might be. So I'm excited to read this one. And this is All for You, Captain, by David Meyerhoff, called All for Brooke.
Okay, this is mine. Okay, so we have David Meyerhoff, All for Brooke. Buzzards hiss along the ceiling sky. My eyelids droop like the holes in the air. Books shower the room with specks of minutia as cones of ice blend. Lost in the sea of waves, I dangle my feet over the edge of the bed, whispering the silent request heavenward. Steady does it. Last night was no holds barred. Today is payment. With the mushrooms of aftershock casting a spider's net on the edifice of now. End poem.
Great read.
And this is, I think, I believe is a pre-write, and the application to the prompt that he selected was spot on, which was prompt one, which was the coffee cup illustration. So this is a great piece, great application Gray, what did you think of All for Broke?
You know, I thought it was a fantastic poem on the subject of getting too drunk the night before. You know, you can feel all this as it weighs heavy on him. Like the swimmer lost in a sea of waves, I dangle my feet over the bed, whispering the silent request heavenward, steady does it. And, you know, you can picture him suffering the morning after, the night before, you know, casting its fighter's net on the edifice of now. I thought it was a fantastic poem.
It was very clever. Thank you. Thank you. Great comment. Pam, what did you think of David Meyerhoff's piece?
Well, I love David Meyerhoff's poetry. He's been writing for quite a while for the show, so I'm glad to see him on your guys' show. Before I comment on the poem, a couple of things. Friendly reminder to everybody that when you type like Angry Kermit the Frog, we can hear you. So if it's not your turn to comment or read, and you're going to be typing or doing things that make noise, you might want to mute yourself. Just a friendly reminder, but I appreciate you all. The other thing I want to mention before I comment is that Dexter has joined us. So welcome, Dexter. Glad
Yay!
You join us.
Hey, Dex.
Right. Hey, Dex.
Hey. Glad I could be here.
Yes, us too. Thank you for joining us.
And I think the angry Kermit the Frog was me, so I apologize for that.
Oh, it's okay, Dan.
I'll own up to it.
I'm trying not to call any specific person out.
I'm a musician. No problem. I'm a musician. I'm used to making a fool of myself in front of people, so I don't mind calling myself out. But hey, Dex, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're like a rock and roll
piper. That's right. Well, I am a drummer, so I do pound on the keys.
This was an excellent write. You know, I really like that he opens up with buzzards hiss along the ceiling skies, my eyelids droop. You know, he kind of brings us into that idea of how our own minds want to, you know, obsess over death, at least it does to me. I like how he brings us into the dream-like feel, like with words, like the swimmer lost in a sea of waves, I dangle my feet over the bed, whisper the silent request, heavenward, steady does it. It really feels like getting lost in the turmoil of dreams and being half between dreamland and half between waking. You know, I actually think it's kind of, in its own way, you know, works really well for the fact that it's a Beltane evening, as Dan was mentioning, because it does have that kind of trapped between worlds feel. For me, it does. And so excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. Great comment. Dex, did you get to hear this piece?
I did. And, you know, I think it's, I guess, unfortunately, it's very relatable for me. All for broke. You know, like, you know, the thing is that, like, the swimmer lost in a sea of waves, everything feels so natural that night, you know, and it's very easy to lose yourself in the midst of that night. But last night was no holds barred. Today was payment. You know, that's just such a difficult thing to handle. It used to be fun, but as you get older, it's just such a difficult shot to take it in the morning. So I appreciate this whole write by David.
And great comment. Great relatable piece. Dan, what did you think of David's piece?
Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed it, and you know, I agree with Dex as well too. It was It was definitely interesting, and I can relate. Like a swimmer lost in a sea of waves, I dangle my feet over the bed, whispering the silent crest heavenward steady does it. For me, you know, a personal issue, it's more stress. It's kind of like, you know, okay, I get myself together. You know, you start, when I get up, I think of all the things that, unfortunately, sometimes not that I'm going to do, but I have to do. And I got to, okay, get myself, you know, calm down. It's the beginning of the day. Let's get in the right mindset. So, yeah, I thought it was really interesting take. Great poem. Great job, David.
I like the interpretation of the prompt also. What a contrast to Martha's piece, which referenced the same prompt. And in listening to this and reading it before, I kept hearing a phrase I heard quite a bit in the military, which, you know, of course, you're young and foolish, and you go out having a good time and forgetting that there's a morning after. And they used to call that, if you got caught on it, it was called the after effects of your intemperance. That's all I kept thinking about. Last night was no holds barred. Today is payment, the after effects of your intemperance. So great piece, David. Well done. And a wonderful interpretation of that prompt. So who have we got next? Let's put Dex to work.
Absolutely. Yep, Dex, it is your honor right now to, since you're the new one here, to read. And this is by Blues Man called My Heart, if you can go for that one.
Hey, can I get the next one, please?
Absolutely, sure. No problem at all. And I think this actually brings us to Gray, if you don't mind grabbing this one.
Okay, sure. This is by Blues Man, and it's called My Heart. My legacy's heart, a beautiful work of art. Proud father, so blessed with a gifted daughter. Inspiration, joyful pains, artist hand never wanes. Her skill grows, freely flowing like running water. Whether it's sullen and blue or sunny and new, giving life to canvas with a unique point of view. Talent will never halt, her being selfless to a fault. Her compassion for all life on earth truly shines. A father's joyful tears have fallen through the years, nurturing her muse with thoughts, ideas, and designs. End poem.
Wonderful read. Thank you. Well done. And let's get some. And this was a pre-write, but it fit so well with the prompt that he selected, prompt 5, which was the same one that you used, Gray. Again, here's an interesting contrast between what you wrote and what's written here. So let's get some comments on it. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Really, really beautiful. I enjoyed it a lot. My legacy's heart, a beautiful work of art. Proud father, so blessed with gifted daughter. You know, just what an amazing way to start. And you know, for those of us who are parents, it's you know, it really changes everything, and that really becomes your heart is your kid. You know, and you can understand it, but you really understand it when you're there and you kind of just see this, you know, her compassion for all life on earth truly shines. You see the world through your kid. And I thought this was just captured beautifully with that. It was a great job.
Amen. Dex, what did you think of Blues Man's piece?
I agree with Dan. You know, my legacy's heart, a beautiful work of art, proud father. You know, I just appreciate legacy for writing this because it's a opening up that is not typically found historically in fathers and is needed. You know, it's something that's hurting society. you know, fathers' lack of compassion and open love and showing emotion and things like that that poetry bring on is truly something that, like I said, I truly believe is crippling society. So this is a very important poem on a lot of levels. Very well done.
Danny, comment. Good observation. Gray, what did you think of Luzman's poem?
Well, you can feel the love and sentiment he has in regards to being a father to this wonderful daughter and all her pursuits that she chooses to pursue. It's just a poem throughout.
Agreed. Thank you. Pam, what did you think of this?
This is beautiful. It's heartfelt. I love how it speaks. He speaks of his love and his pride for his daughter. And I really like this all the way through, but the middle part is what grabs my attention the most. Whether it's fallen in blue or sunny and new, giving life to canvas with a unique point of view. I like that he brings up that his daughter has that artistic way of thinking outside the box. So this is very well done.
Agreed. Yeah, I found this definitely a relatable piece. I was a daddy's girl, and I could always tell when he was proud of something that I had done, because, I mean, you could, if the room was dark, you could have read by him. He would glow, and it's just, it is such a, it's such a warming thing to know that your parent is proud of you, that you brought them that kind of feeling. Now, this is you could tell there's a great pride here in his daughter and a great deal of affection and a beautifully touching piece. And not very long, but very well done. And like I said, a great adaptation of the prompt. So thank you for contributing that, Luzman. And who do we have next?
Yes, and this is by Teresa S. called The Eagle Weeps, and I'll give this one a read. The eagle weeps as the mystical marriage draws to its end. The eagle weeps at the parting of twin souls. The eagle weeps as the swan she sings her final song. The eagle weeps. The eagle weeps at the destruction of such a thing of beauty. The eagle weeps, for he sees what should have been. The eagle weeps as the swan she sings her final song. The eagle weeps. Out from the depth of his being, he cries, "Why?" And then, covering his snowy head with his wings of sun, he hears no answer, no answer that will suffice, no answer that can measure the loss, no answer that will satisfy, no answer that will ever remove this longing for his beloved that lies within him, hidden deep within his core, and so there will remain unspoken. The eagle weeps as the swan she sings her final song. The eagle weeps. End poem.
Outstanding read. Well done. Well done. And a very emotional piece. So let's get some comments on it. Pam, what did you think of Teresa's piece?
I like this. I thought the repetitiveness worked in it to emphasize the point. You know, automatically, of course, when I see the eagle, I think of the United States of America. And I think there's this slight kind of social commentary undertone to this in the idea of how are we as a country destroying ourselves, you know. And I don't want to get into politics, but I do, that is what I automatically think of. But I also see it as, you know, because it brings in other birds and they're like the swan, and their reactions. And there's just a genuine tone of sadness to this, of somebody who has loved and lost. And I think it works two ways. I think it works on, like, it's a metaphor, but, you know, it could be a metaphor for an individual who has lost something or, you know, someone that they were in love with. But it can also go back to the whole idea of someone who gave their all for a country and lost everything they had. So just a powerful, and I have to agree with you, a very emotional write, Bobby, and very well done.
A great comment. Thank you very much. Great observations. Ray, what did you think of this piece?
I thought the poem had a haunting note to it. You know, you can picture this eagle weeping at the destruction of such a beautiful thing, a thing of beauty. The eagle weeps for he sees what should have been. The eagle weeps as the swan sings her final song. The eagle weeps. I mean, can you imagine eagle weeping? It'd be tragic.
Yeah, the great observation. It is a very striking visual image to think of that. So, Dex, what did you think of this piece?
I thought it was a fantastic write, and I really, really loved Pam's comment because, honestly, I didn't even associate it with that. Maybe that shows where I'm at is where we stand as a country. But I viewed it as the animals that we have, you know, in this world that are on the, you know, the preserve list and that are going extinct. But I could see I think that Pam was actually correct. Or at least that after hearing her thing, I think that it was more accurate to say that it was us as a country. But I do think that it, or in my initial thoughts, though, were of nature. But I thought that this was a great write.
Great observation. Agreed. This can be viewed several different ways, which is a wonderfully complex and versatile piece. Dan, what did you think?
Yeah, anytime, you know, the eagle is put on there, we can always think United States, and I do agree with Pam. I think there's certainly a good, like a relatable towards, you know, the country. I mean, I think the last 10 years have been really interesting in this country, or I don't know how long it's been, like 6, 7, 8 years. Have been really interesting. You know, I'm in my 50s and never seen the country kind of going through what it's going through now in my lifetime. So it is interesting. And I also do like it just from the nobility of the eagle. You know, you always think of an eagle as this kind of proud, you know, the eagle itself, if you look, it really has its head up. So it has that kind of stereotypical that we think of as proudness, you know, and it's very majestic. And with this one, we're seeing the eagle weeping still from a lost love, from a lost partner, from the twin souls. And it's very, very deep that way, very emotional. And I always love poems that you can take multiple ways, which this one you certainly can. I agree with Pam. I think the repetitiveness really works. That's a hard thing to do. So great job there, Teresa. Really appreciate it.
It does have some versatility to it, and it can be viewed either as patriotism or as endangered species. So there's a lot being said in this piece, and it's very very complex and very well done. So thank you for a great piece there, Teresa. So where do we go next?
Yes, and the drummer in me is very excited because we got 5 minutes left and 3 poems. So we are timing things perfectly here. We got 5 minutes
left.
And I'm very excited. And Dex, I don't think we got you to read. I could be wrong, but I don't think we did. So if you could do the one by Avery 1421 called Scribbles, and I just put that up on the board.
Absolutely. This is Scribbles by Avery 1421. I scribble my thoughts on the paper, then I decide they aren't good enough to show. So I crumble them up and toss them to the side of the room. I don't want them. I scribble and toss. I scribble and toss. Paper after paper after paper. Until eventually, I look to the right. and it's just a one giant pile of crumbled paper. One day I drew a little white flower pot and added some small doodles around it. I set that paper down, set some crumbling paper around, and made a crumbling paper flower pot. And it's funny that you, reader, thought that I was going somewhere with this poem, but I'm not. I'm just scribbling my scribbles and tossing balls of paper around a flower pot. End poem.
Wonderful read. Well done. A lot of personality in that read. And let's get some comments on a very interesting piece. Pam, what did you think of this piece?
It's, you know, one of the things that's so great about this contest and tonight's show is to see how people, a lot of people have been having fun with their chosen prompt. And Avery definitely did that with this one. I like how they bring out the frustration that comes with the scribble and tossing and the scribble and tossing and trying to get something right, but it doesn't quite come around or becomes something different than you expected. So I really liked this all the way through and thought it was clever and very well done.
Great, great comment. Great comment. And Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, I thought it was, I feel the same. I thought it was, you know, really interesting and you know, I like, where's that part here? Oh, thought it was going somewhere with the poem, but I'm not. I'm just scribbling my thoughts. Just scribbling my scribbles and tossing balls of paper into a flower pot. And I usually write when I walk. It just clears my mind. And a lot of times I think, you know, why do I have to have a purpose? Why can't I just write down my thoughts? Why can't I just kind of just go with what I think? It's almost like jazz improv. You know, everything doesn't have to be kind of layered out. And I think that's really important. And I think it makes interesting poems. And sometimes that's what I will do. So I thought this was both fun and interesting, but also, it was also just had that kind of sense, I think, to me of, you know, everything doesn't have to have a purpose. You can just, you know, sometimes
yeah.
Poetry and great thoughts can be just people hanging around, you know, just hanging around, just talking about nothing, just sitting there and, you know, just kind of jabbering with each other. And that can, you know, that can be poetry in its own. So really great. And I apologize. I lied. We got one more. So, we might have time for one more if anybody on the show has something they want to share. You can get it ready, and we might have time
to do that. We want to get Dex's comment. We want to get Dex's comment before.
Oh yeah. We still have time
on.
For that, but we might have time for one more if people have time. But yes, Dex, definitely go ahead.
Dex, what did you think of the piece you read?
I agree. You know, with what Daniel said, and I don't. I guess mean to toot my own horn, but I feel like I was perfect to read that because I felt like I just inherited the cadence and the comedic side. And I think that is one of the most important things that is about poetry. As you said, it doesn't have to have a purpose, as Dan pointed out, but as long as it finds the right people. As long as the comedic edge to it, as long as there's certain things that are shared, poetry stands as just that, poetry, and it is held to that level. And you know why it happens in the universe or whatever it might be. But tonight I think it found the right people, you know, and so I think that this is just a very, very funny piece and it's just my kind of style. So very well done.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I could say when I first I tried to write for years and years, and I couldn't do it because I was trying to do, like, what I thought poetry was. I was trying to study it, and, okay, you have to do it this way. You have to do this much meter and run. And I was putting so many rules on myself, and it would take me – I would try to write and then not write, and not write for a year. And when I just let myself just think and just kind of let it flow, that's when it came. So I agree with that. You know, this is fun, but I got a lot out of it. I mean, I agree with you, Dex, a lot. You know, sometimes you just got to let the thoughts flow.
It's an inspired interpretation of the prompt. Again, very different from the previous incarnation. And the fact that it is just so blatantly honest. It's funny that you, the reader, thought I was going somewhere with this poem. That I just really startled me, and it was just the honesty, the outright honesty of the piece is delightful and refreshing. So we have 10 minutes left. What do we have left to read?
Yeah, we have one more from the prompt. So like I said, if anyone has one they want to throw on, if we have time, we can do that. And I'm going to give this one a read. We put it on, and we had so much fun tonight. What's up?
I added one. Great. Thank you.
Oh, awesome, awesome.
Excellent.
So we've had so much fun tonight, and that's definitely been the theme, so I'm going to read this one. And just to show it's fun, this is called Odor to a Sweat Sock, A Dash of Mash and Prompt, and Prompt 20, number 22. Oh, putrid circumbent, debased beyond the decadent, bottom rent and top elasticated, as if by some ruminant re-masticated. So laden a lifetime have you led, your soulmate has mysteriously fled. Whener I deem my miseries immense, enemies manifold, friends where or whence. I need but regard your countenance of sorrow, to know how much worse things are bound to be tomorrow. End poem.
Outstanding read. Yeah, and this is the illustration is a sweat sock, a heel up that the artist has turned into a dinosaur, and I found it quite comical just looking at it. But what Keith has done with this is he's really quite profound. So let's get some commentary on this. Pam, what did you think of this piece?
Oh, this was just excellent dark humor. It was fun. It was clever. I like how he put in word choices that you don't usually think of to use in poetry, like circumpedent and the ruminate re-masticated, or let in lifetime have you led. I like how this looks at the sadness of the sock, and I told him that I thought it was relatable dark humor, and especially to my drawer of socks that had lost their mates. So it's excellent writing, very well done.
Great comment, okay, Kren. And you indicated it's relatable too. Thank you. Gray, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, you did a wonderful read on that, Dex. And but you know, the poem itself is Daniel. It has a fantastic, you know, dark humor to it about the soulmate has mysteriously fled, and then and manifold friends where or whence. I need but to regard your count sorrow to know how much worse things are bound to be tomorrow. Just a beautiful poem.
Great comment. Dex, what did you think of this piece, this write?
Yeah, I thought that this was fantastic. I thought, once again, it's I don't know, your guys' prompt was awesome, obviously, for spawning writes like this. But it's very comedic. It's very unique. It's turning sometimes our ugliness into beautiful art. And so there's a certain category of intelligence to this simplicity that this belongs in, and I thought that this was perfect.
Great comment. Well done. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, this is great. I don't know if delasticated is a word, but it should be. I really enjoyed delasticated. That was great.
Well, it is now.
I'm gonna read his. It's absolutely one now. So I'm gonna read his notes. It says which is just as good as the poem. A circumpedant wraps around a foot. So he's explaining his words. Delasticated is drained of elasticity. Ruminants regurgitate and rechew their cud. Leaden means heavy and dull. Soulmate. The missing other sock. Countenance of sorrow evokes Don Quixote, the knight of the sorrowful countenance. And yes, I am a pessimist. That's what he says. So, this is so much fun. And he just, you know, he made it almost Monty Python-like, in my opinion, where I could see this is like a Monty Python skit, you know, finding a missing sock or an old sock, and they're reading this out there. So it was... It was very, very beautifully written, but also a lot of fun. So I thought it was really, really great.
Reed, he's taken vocabulary in which would be routine and has applied it in such a way that he's given a dark humor and a complexity to an upended sock, a circumpediment, a putrid circumpediment. I mean, the first line. And you know you're in for something special. Debased beyond the decadent, bottom rent and top delasticated. And I agree. If it isn't the word, it certainly should be. So this was a delightful write and a delightful read, and I'm so glad that someone wrote to that particular prompt, and that's the only one that did. So we have about 4 minutes left. What do we want to do with them?
Well, we are lucky. Well, we do have time. I think it's a short one. I think we could get Gray to read this and get some quick comments.
Hey.
I think it'd be great. And a little extra Gray in our lives. There's nothing wrong with that at all. So, Gray, if I could get you to read that, and that'd be great.
One of my favorite sayings growing up is every silver lining has a touch of gray.
That's right.
Well,
okay,
said.
So this is called My Fury Restrained by Gray Eyes Smith. My fury restrained, barely contained, memories retained, breaking through, unstrained, eve of my soul, ripped wide asunder. I fight for control. I will not let this take me under. I pushed her away. She found the will to stay. I thank her here and now. For helping me remain in control somehow. She me glad to old friend. For helping me break, but not bend. Or not break, but bend. End poem.
Excellent. Outstanding read. Great brevity. Let's get you some comments. Pam, what did you think of Great Piece?
Oh, I thought this was an excellent brevity. I'm glad he brought it out because it was one I hadn't been able to see before. I really like that you put the Ojibwe word for thank you in there. And I like the general tone of this. It's a heartfelt brevity on being grateful for that kind of friend that helps keep you together and learn to bend during tough times. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you,
Great
Pam.
Great comment. Dex, what did you think of Gray's read?
Dexter's dropped.
Dexter's dropped.
Oh, dear. Well, we'll never know now, will we? Okay. Dan, what did you think of Gray's read?
Yeah, great read, Gray, and thanks for getting that up there for us. And this is great. You know, you can feel, I always say great poem. You can feel emotion. You can feel the passion in it. You can feel this on here. I think it's hard to feel anger or fury in rhyming, but you were able to do that. You know, I can kind of feel that in every word. I like the rhyme as well too, and just I think the small lines work great in this because that's kind of a lot of times how you think in quick when you are furious or upset. So great job. I enjoyed it a lot. Thank you for posting that.
Yes, agreed.
And that brings us right to 1 minute left.
And a lot of intensity in this piece. So thank you very much for sharing it with us. We really enjoyed it. Kiddo, we have 1 minute left. Yeah, I told you we could do it, kiddo. I told you we'd do it.
We did it. We did it.
Yes. And while we have a moment, I just want to remind folks that after this contest closes, which it is now, we still have out there the mysticism and magic of Remedios Varo. And she was one of the first women or female surrealist artists. And so you please take a look at her work. And I will be posting a new contest up on probably tomorrow or Monday. And it will be as different as Remedios Varo's was from Christoph Nyman. So looking for some variety here, guarantee you will get it on Monday with another artist. So thank you again, everyone, for your participation and for your thoughts and for your poetry and for sharing a little bit of your evening with us. So on that note, I'm going to say good night.
Good night, Bobby.
Good night, everyone. Good night. Take care. Good night.